Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all, what's up? That was Levi Mann with his new song, Prayers. You can download that song. I believe it's on Amazon Music. And I downloaded it from a Christian music website where I downloaded it from. But I like to buy music and help support the artists. And got to give a shout-out to Levi Mann. I used his song last year, Letters in Red. And then this year I got the song Prayers. Thank you, Levi. I got to let him know that I'm switching to this song this year. But he gave me his blessing last year for his own Letters in Red. And so I may end up swapping to another song. I listen to so much different Christian music, but I like Levi Mann's music because it's Christian country rap. It's basically, you know, like, I think with, I love music like Rhett Walker Band. I love country rap music. And with Levi, he mixes like country rap beats with Christian lyrics, which is awesome. And I love that, man. He reminds me of, like, Whosoever South. There's only Rare Breed's another one. I like Rare Breed, and then, of course, now we got Kalen Miller that's got the band Cypress Spring. Kalen Miller got saved, and Cypress Spring got rebranded into a Christian country rap band, which is cool. And so that's cool. And we got a great show for you. We got Ernie Parker supposed to call in. So this is Safety to Success. Safety and Racing Podcast. And so, excuse me. So, as always, we put God first, then safety, then racing, in that order. I'm a safety Nazi, however you want to call me, the safety Nazi, safety guru. I'm the guy that makes people mad because they got to spend money on something that could save their life. You know, I'm the guy that some people don't like. And the ones that put safety first, they like me. They think, okay, he's cool. So I'm that guy, and if I make people mad because I'm trying to make them safer in a race car, especially promoting the fuel racer, then so be it. They can just get mad. It'll be okay. You know, it's my job to sell safety. And because I helped Robbie Johns, my awesome buddy Robbie Johns, with the Race Safer Fuel Arrestor. So our product is made in the USA. With NASA grade materials, no Chinese garbage. The Race Safer Fuel Arrestor is an innovative product. And of course, I help Robbie. I'm the promoter and salesman and business partner, whole nine yards. And so what our product does is it's like a diaper or a vest. You put it around the fuel cell of your race car, and it helps prevent the car and driver from catching fire from a fuel spill. Now, okay, cool. So we got Shane Barnhill called in. Great. So I'll bring Shane on in just a few minutes. And so everybody that's listening, y'all share this show tell everybody where you're listening. Tell them where to find it. We're live on Blog Talk Radio. And then when the show ends, it goes to Spotify, it goes to Spreaker, it goes to Apple Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcast, that's where it goes to after the show. But if you want to listen to it live on air, then go to Blog Talk Radio, because that's where it's at. And one day in the future, when I get me the correct, webcam for my computer, I'm going to go live on Facebook on the Race Safe Fuel Arrester page. But I can't go live on Facebook and do the phone call at the same time, because you have to call the Blog Talk Radio hotline number to do it the official way. And then if I want to go live, I need a extra device. So once I get me a good webcam, then I should be able to go live from the computer, from the webpage. And so, and let's see, I got some messages coming in. Let me read them. All right, so I'm fixing to get Shane on. Let's see, Taz. Not sure if anyone wants this person, I guess. I know he serves best in the Southern region. I'll try getting in touch with him. I think Tim is the one that actually did an interview. They're the promoters. All right, cool. Thanks for that info, Taz. I don't know if Taz Taylor is listening, but shout out to Taz Taylor, Chris Creighton, and the guys over there at the Race Chat Live podcast, which is that is Chris Creighton's NASCAR podcast. He does with Taz Taylor, Lee Reed, and Jason McMillan, and Craig Moore at Moore to Music. So shout out to those, and if I missed anybody, sorry. But yeah, so that's the Race Chat Live podcast, and I got to give a shout out to Jason McMillan with the 110 Nation Sports for giving me this podcast, and thanks Chris Creighton for what he does and helping me get this. Chris Creighton is the one that offered me this, and let's see, we got Ernie Parker going to call in. So I may have Brian Littleton call in. I haven't heard from Brian today, but I may have him call in with the Race Logic Chassis School. And he's going to be talking about their next school. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. And then we're going to bring Shane Barnhill on. And then Shane will be next. And then I got Ernie Parker going to call in, which is the flagman at Hattiesburg Speedway. So shout out to Ernie. He's taking Mr. Donald's place tonight. Mr. Donald was supposed to come in, but Donald called me a few minutes ago and said he's having some bad luck. He said the disc broke on the tractor at the racetrack, because he's working the track tonight. The disc broke on the tractor, the grader was down, and then the water truck was broke too. And he said he had Dallas helping him, but if anybody listening is in the Hattiesburg area and wants to go help Mr. Donald, he said he had it, but I don't know. I think it wouldn't hurt if a few more people went over and helped Mr. Donald, because they're racing tomorrow night, and it'd be awesome if he gets all that fixed in time to be able to race tomorrow night. And tell him you heard it from the podcast, that because Mr. Donald's a great dude. I thank the world of him. Ron Southern, my awesome friend Ron Southern, is the announcer there. And I just love Hattiesburg Speedway. I love everybody up there. They've been so nice to me the four times I've been there. And Hattiesburg ain't but like a little over 2 hours from me, so. So, okay, back to the fuel safety. So check us out online at RaceSaferFuelArresterLLC.com. That's the website I built. I got a lot of hours built that website. We have a lot of people view the website now, and I've had some people give me some feedback on what they thought, but I'd love to have some more feedback, because I'm not getting an extreme amount of feedback on what y'all think of the website. But let me know, because I've got a lot of hours in that, and I'd love to be able to sell you a fuel arrester. Don't skip on fuel safety, y'all. So we got Kyle Jinks, front-wheel drive racer, who's got one of our fuel arresters on his car, on the slightly hated is what he calls his car. And so shout-out to Kyle Jinks for front-wheel drive Fridays. He races the SC Duray class in North Carolina. And Front Wheel Drive Fridays, go like them on Facebook. Tell Kyle we sent you. And he goes live on Fridays and does his live show on Front Wheel Drive Fridays, where he interviews front wheel drive racers and promotes front wheel drive racing in the SCDRA class. And he was in a huge wreck last year. He barrel rolled his car 18 times at the speedway he was racing at. And Outside the Groove magazine did an article on it. You can go watch the replay of the in-car camera from one of the cars in the back of the field. You can see Kyle get clipped. And he said he counted 18 rotations the car barrel rolled. And, like, it's a blessing from God he survived. Like, it's a miracle from God he survived. He's fine now. He had the best safety equipment. And you can also follow Kyle Jenks on TikTok. And he sent him a friend request on Facebook, too. But look up Front Wheel Drive Fridays on Facebook, and then you go to TikTok. And it's either Front Wheel Drive Fridays on TikTok or Kyle Jenks, Jerker Style Kyle. It's probably Jerker Style Kyle on TikTok. But you can go follow him on there. And he goes live. He shouts us out all the time because he's promoting us. He's got a fuel arrestor on his car, and he's getting a wrap done. So it's going to be pretty cool to see our name on a wrap on a race car. How cool is that, man? That means the world to me. So maybe one day we can get this to where it's a full-time business, if it's the Lord's will, you know. But fuel safety should be very important. Kyle's got this slogan. He says, check your safety. So because of Kyle, I use the hashtag check your safety. And it's just a great thing to do, check everything. Because his roll cage, when he wrecked, his roll cage was bent in just slightly. You could tell it was bent. It destroyed that race car. It was a Nissan, a nasty Nissan, they called it. Destroyed the car, but the roll cage did its job. I think it was money well wasted chassis. I'd have to ask him. But it was the top-of-the-line chassis. I mean, top-of-the-line roll cage you could buy. You know, he had the best safety gear. And now he's got a fuel arrestor in there, and it'll help protect it from fuel fire. So if you go to our Facebook, we have a full video, and we also have a Snapchat. I mean, not Snapchat, crap. TikTok, so look up Race Safer Fuel Arrestor or Jared Hudson on Facebook. It's under both, I think. You can find us on TikTok. And anyways, we got the full video on our Facebook. So Kyle was live one day and promoting the fuel arrestor. He just got it in the mail and was promoting it on his car. And his phone died. He lost service, so he had to restart his live. So I took both of his lives and made it into one big video and edited it together. And then one of the things he talks about is the fuel arrestor would give you time to get out of the race car, time that's needed, because you have to unbuckle, you have to do all this stuff before you can even get out of the race car. And that's a huge difference. That'd keep you. Now, it's like anything in racing. It's not 100% foolproof. It still take damage. And it will not soak up 100% of your race fuel, but it will soak up enough race fuel, like Kyle said. If you watch that video, he says, give you enough time to get out of that car and give you time to go back to your family, time to do this. You know, I mean, it's just a huge blessing. Fuel fires are dangerous. We've documented dozens and dozens of fuel fires in my short 2 or 3 years helping Robbie advertise this. You can look on our Facebook and scroll down. And you'll see nothing but videos, articles, and stuff of drivers catching fire from fuel fires. And don't be one of these idiots that joke around with that kind of stuff and say they come up with every excuse under the sun why not to buy one. You know, I mean, don't skip on safety. And then you hear, well, I'd buy one if they'd make it mandatory. I say, well, why should something that could save your life be mandatory before you'd buy it? You know how stupid that sounds? I don't know. Somebody's going to get mad at me for saying that. I don't care. I'm just being real with you. I'm being honest. I love speaking my mind. Something that could save your life shouldn't have to be mandatory before you buy it. You should think safety. But anyways, I'm going to swap over to my guest, Shane Barnhill here. Let's get Shane on. So Shane, go like Shane's Facebook page at Barnhill Racing on Facebook. And let's get him clicked over on the call here. Well, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Man, I'm so glad you called in.
Me too, buddy. Me too.
Because, I mean, look, I know we hadn't known each other long, but you're one of those people that I feel like I've known my whole life. You're just that good of a dude. Like, I think highly of you. And then you getting to listen to the Three Wise Men podcast, and then the Shooting Straight Live show I do on my ministry page. That was cool.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
That was great. And so tell everybody who you are and how long you've been in racing and whatnot.
Well, my name's Shane Barnhill. I'm the Shane Barnhill Barnhill Racing. I've been kind of ironic. When I was 16, I was racing, and I got out of it when I got married at 21, and I was away from it for a long time. And 3 years ago, I decided I was going to get my son into it, and so I bought a little Stinger, and it went from there. And now I just got cars everywhere I look. So
you got the car fever.
Oh yeah, but it just don't go away, man. My wife rolls her eyes at me when I start talking about a car, and she said, "Don't you have enough?" I said, "Well, you don't ever really have enough, but you know how it is, you know."
Yeah. So you just buy her chocolates and she's fine with it.
Oh no, I buy her chicken stuff. She's a chicken lady. She loves chickens, and man, I buy her, if I see whatnots or anything with chicken, I buy it, and she makes her happy. So that's, as long as she's happy and I'm happy. So.
Okay, that's awesome. That is cool. So, let's see.
She's a very patient woman. That's for sure.
All right. Patient to put up with you and your racing, and yeah.
And all my crazy friends.
So everybody needs to go on Facebook and look up. So I just mentioned it. Let me mention it again. So let me pull it up, make sure I got it right, because let's see. B-A-R-N. All right, so go look up Barnhill Racing. Got 118 followers. Let's get that up to 200-plus followers.
Man, that'd be awesome.
You can see pictures of y'all go run this page up. Give him some likes. So he's got 98 likes and 118 followers. So let's get above 200 likes and 200 followers. That'd be great.
That'd be good. I post on there every Friday night, and if we, after the races on Saturday, I'll post what went on Sunday. When I get up, I'll post on there, but try to keep everybody up what's going on with Barnhill Racing. And for my sponsors, I'd like to put them out there, and Scott Sessions and Randy Pack. Scott Runt drives my 15 car, my pure stock car, and does a good job with it. Actually, he's going to be at Southern Saturday, and going to try it out over there. We've run into a few problems, but I think Scott's going to have it fixed and ready to run out on Saturday, and I'm looking for our first win.
Man, look, so Saturday, when I was down there filming the races for the Southern Dirt Track Report, I was so excited when you told me Scott was going to run your car again, the 15 pure stock, because me and Scott come real close. Like, I try to, he's called me and I've called him a good bit, and I want to see him finally win a race, because I've been watching him. So I didn't get into dirt track racing until 2015. I wished I'd have been in it before then. I've been a NASCAR fan since Moby Dick was a sardine. And and so, like, I was always into NASCAR. I was always into IndyCar racing, all this kind of racing. And I knew a little bit about dirt track racing, but never got into it until I went with Jamie Mazingo, my buddy up here, 2015. And if it wasn't for him and Mr. Gerald Ball taking me to Why Not, I wouldn't have been hooked like I am now. But ever since I've been knowing Scott, I've been watching him race off and on, and he doesn't race as much as he used to. And then, of course, he runs Northwest Florida Speedway, for those who don't know. And I wish he could be the one day be the owner of the track. But, like, anyways, so I was so excited. I was like, yeah, I'm getting to watch Scott win. Well, when I'm announcing at Tri-County Speedway, I can't pick my favorites, even though in the back of my head I know who I want to win, but I can't because I got to be unbiased being an announcer. But on my race videos, it's a little different story. I always pick two drivers who I want to see win on my videos, and I'll pick two drivers, and then I make sure when I'm announcing on my videos that I don't try to, you know, shout them out the whole entire time who I want to win. You know, I'll give them a plug every now and then, but, like, try to make sure I'm, you know, kind of unbiased on that, too. And so I picked Scott to win, and then Bryson Manis were my two picks in this last race. And I was so excited. I was like, yeah, Scott's gonna finally take that 15-car victory lane. And he ended up coming from the back and finishing, what, fifth? I think that's what he said.
Pretty cool. Yeah, we had problems with just blowing the tires off, but I think it was a gear issue, and Scott's gonna have that fixed, and I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure that he's gonna have that number 15 Johnson's Roofing Solutions car in Victory Lane this weekend, and we're gonna be excited about it for sure.
So are you gonna be able to be there? Or are you still working?
I'm still offshore. I will be, I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook, but Northwest Florida Speedway is doing a big race on the 4th. It's going to be pretty cool, too. I don't know if you've seen it. They're going to do the backwards race for
three
classes.
Oh, I heard about that,
yeah. Yeah, that's going to be exciting to watch, but, yeah. And Scott's going to be in that 15 car every night that Northwest Florida races, because we're gonna get him a season championship. What we're gonna do there, and Randy's gonna be driving my 13 car for most of the time. It's the Backwoods Bridges car, pure stock, and it'd be nice to see him and Scott 1 and 2 quite often.
Wow, because I watched Tyler Benton and Randy Pack go back and forth, and Tyler Benton was smoking them in that vintage race. I was like, yeah, Tyler Benton's going to get him another win because he got that good look charm in his car. And,
yeah, he made a little mistake.
Just fell short.
Yeah, it ate him up too, man. I talked to him a couple times about it, and it just ate him up. But he's going to be a heck of a contender all season. I can guarantee you that.
Oh, yes. And the vintage class is my favorite class, because if it hadn't been for Jamie Mazingo, my buddy, if it hadn't been for him racing vintage class, I would not even know what a vintage car is. And I watched him race vintage car for years at Flemington Speedway. When they had the Southern Vintage Racing Association, when Miss Christine and her husband Ben Spears, when they were doing it, and I watched them, they raced at Why Not. They got him a race up there at Five Flags Speedway. I was there for that, and that's just been my class, man, because all the classic cars, and Jamie finally got his fixed and got to run it at Tri-County when they raced him, but didn't do so good because he had three-year-old tires, but I'm hoping he gets a new set of tires soon. He gets to come race Northwest Florida with y'all up here, because I watched Randy win that race, and I was like, man, that is so cool, because I've never seen Randy win a race. He's always been fast, but he finally got it done.
Yeah, he's going to – him and Tyler, they're going to be tough all year. I guarantee you that, without a doubt.
Used to it was J.D. Fuquay dominating everything. Him and Tommy Gilmore, they dominated everything in Northwest Florida. If you saw either one of them two pull up, you might as well just load your car up and go home. That's just the way it was. And then Tommy won a bunch of races, and then he graduated to the IMC Modifieds, and it's just wide open. You got the Tyrells there, and then you got Randy, and then, I mean, it's just a really good, and then Autumn Hall, she races.
Yeah, and Kayla Sessions, too. She's,
yes,
her car's
yes.
fixed. It'll be back out there this weekend. She'll be
great.
Back on the track.
She's gonna be
weekend, yeah.
Oh, she's driving. Okay, great. I love watching Kaylee race, man. Girl power. I want to see more females in dirt racing. I really do. I think it should be a revolution because, like, you got those two, then you got Kendall Kimmons. I follow Kendall. I've been knowing Kendall for a while now. Oh, she's racing. Then you got some of these up-and-comers, but, like,
and
Kayla
Tana
Gassner,
Walker
you got her.
Tana Walker drives one of Scott's cars, too, the X car.
Oh, cool. Okay.
This is vintage. Yeah, in the vintage class.
Okay. Oh, that's a blue and black car with the X on the side.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
That's Scott's car, too. But Tana Walker drives it.
Okay, Tyler Walker. I didn't know who that was because I heard them announce it, but I didn't ever because, see, they don't have my race pass up there, so I can't really follow nothing about the track unless they post it on Facebook. But now I see, and Scott was telling me a few weeks ago, he's like, yeah, I'm going to go meet with the internet provider about getting internet at the racetrack. And I saw last weekend they got a brand new Viasat or whatever brand it is, internet out there. So that's great.
Yeah. And I'll be back in the 16 car when I get home.
Great.
Yeah, the vintage, the 16 car. I'll be driving that one for Scott.
So which car? So didn't Scott just pick up a vintage car for you?
Yes, he did. It's gonna have. It'll be a while before it's ready, though.
So was that the one you showed me the other night?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I know you were telling me how excited you was. So what color are you going to paint it? You going to do something different or what?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be cobalt blue and silver. And some fluorescent yellow or fluorescent green outline.
Awesome. So
is the
chassis going to be cobalt blue?
No. The body, it'll be black probably.
Okay.
But the body and all will be cobalt blue.
That's great because there's too many super, super dark colored cars. But with that being cobalt blue, that's going to pop. And blue is my second favorite color, which is the color of my truck. So I know that cobalt blue will pop.
Yeah, I'm hoping so. I think it's going to look good. Sure is.
Because I work at a Mack dealership, and we get these new Mack trucks in the dealership, and Mack actually has a color called cobalt blue. It's kind of like a darker blue, but it is beautiful. Like, I see it on these new Mack trucks, and I'm like, dude, that is cool, man.
That's
so I know
awesome
it's going to look
color.
Good on that race car.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has you don't see very many blue race cars unless it's patriotic themed, and those are cool, too. But, like, don't see a lot of blues. You see black and white. It's about all you ever see.
And speaking of patriotic, I'm thinking one of my second choices on my numbers is the patriotic number, you know.
Oh, yes. So my favorite paint scheme is, of course, I done got to where I'm a big red and yellow fan because it's the red and yellow safety colors, which is what we have as a fuel rester. But patriotic paint scheme is probably my favorite color scheme out of all of them, and that looks good on numbers.
You're right. My grandson's car that he's going to be driving this year when we get him finished up is white with patriotic wrap.
Oh, that's going to look good.
Yeah, I'll send you some pictures.
Yeah, do that. So what's your opinion? So I'm going to give you my opinion on this, but what is your opinion on cars with reflective numbers?
I like them.
So,
somewhat. I mean,
I'm not
going to put them on my car, but.
So this is my opinion on those. I like them. I think they look awesome. But me being a photographer, I have to hate them on the other side because I always heard from these photographers that I'm friends with back when I used to take still shots on the racetrack. They used to all tell me, like, I think maybe Mr. Eddie and, like, I can't think of his name. Photo One, Scott Oglesby, him and a few others, they would tell me, oh, I don't like reflective numbers on race cars, and they explained it, and they said, well, the reason why, when you go to take a picture of that race car with a flash on your camera,
it reflects back
the
to
camera,
you.
Yes, and that's all you pick up is that reflection from that number, and that is the number one hated number on photographers' hit list, because they go take a picture, and I finally saw that one night. I was like, I took a picture. I can't remember what car it was. Maybe it why not. And I took a picture, and all it focused on was that reflective number. I was like, man, this sucks. But it's still cool looking on the, you know.
Right. Maybe if it was outlined in the reflective stuff instead of the whole number.
Yeah, that might would be better. That might would look way better. Yeah, I think that'd look cool looking. So what is your favorite color scheme you've ever seen in racing, like numbers, the way the car looked, everything?
Man, I think I told you this the other day, but Rusty Wallace's car, I love Rusty Wallace, period, but his blue and white car was my favorite one.
Okay, that was because at one time he had the black and gold Miller car, but the blue
Miller
and white Coors
Miller.
Yeah, Miller light car. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That was Miller Genuine Draft, was his black and gold, and then he went to Miller Lite, which was the blue and white.
Yes, that's correct. That's right, yeah. That's cool. He's another one of those, and I say this all the time, and I really do believe this. He's one of those drivers that, in my opinion, retired too early. Same thing with Bobby Labonte. I'm a big Bobby Labonte fan. My favorite driver of all time, Ricky Rudd and Michael Waltrip, are my two favorite drivers. I think they both retired too early, in my opinion. And the reason why I say this, because I know why they retired. So Bobby Labonte, I'll never forget this. He was racing the road course race at Sonoma, and he was racing it, and he ran out of fuel in his last season, full season racing. He ran out of fuel, and I remember the cameras focused on him sitting on top of his car, and he was all upset, and because he drove for a smaller team that didn't have no kind of budget whatsoever, that he just couldn't compete with these Hendrick Motorsports and all these guys with billions of dollars in their cars, and he just said, well, since I can't compete, I'm just going to retire. And the same thing with Michael Waltrip, you know. Of course, he had his own race team at one point, but then he lost that. And then he was just driving for underfunded teams, that start and park teams, some people call them, that could barely, you know, make it to the track. And which, I mean, it's great to get their names out there with these drivers, but I just think it'd been awesome if these teams would have been on a level playing field and had the budget these big teams got. Then they could have made it, because now they got the new Gen 7 car, Gen 6 car, whatever it is. And this car is so equal that even the underfunded teams are running with the big dogs.
Yeah. Michael Walter had a good ride when he was driving for DEI.
Yes, he did. And I remember when Dale Earnhardt died, and some people, that's the day NASCAR died. I don't believe that, but that's their opinion. So I remember when Dale Earnhardt died, I was recording a race on TV. I recorded it on VHS tape. And I was so excited. I was like, oh, my favorite driver, Michael Waltrip's finna win a Daytona 500. And I remember his brother, Darrell Waltrip, was crying in the booth.
Mm-hmm.
And Darrell said, Mikey's going to do it. My little brother, Mikey's going to do it. And he starts crying. And Mikey did it. And he won with Dale Earnhardt Jr. pushing him to the line. And Michael was celebrating. And not even 10 minutes later, he couldn't even finish his celebration because they found out Dale Earnhardt died. And I was like, man, that's got to suck.
Yeah, right.
And he won two Daytona 500. That was his first one. But that was the biggest win in his career. And if Dale Earnhardt hadn't died, I wished he could have celebrated more, because that really put, because Michael had been racing 20-something years at that point, or however long it was. And I was like, man, that finally put him on map. But no, it ended short.
Yeah. So who's your favorite driver now?
So I was a big Kevin Harvick fan. I was sad Kevin Harvick retired. I wished he had stayed at least one more season until he got him a win. But Kevin Harvick went out in his own way, and he even said it. That's the way he wanted to go out, whether he won or not. So I was still kind of bummed about that. But Michael McDowell, I love me some Michael McDowell. And then I like A.J. Allmendinger, but now he's back in the Xfinity Series. But one reason I like Michael McDowell, because he's a Christian, and he's sponsored by Love's Travel Stops, and he's, from my understanding, I follow him on Facebook, and I follow every driver, every team on Facebook, and Michael McDowell is one of those people, even though he's about my age, a little younger, I would still nerd out meeting him, because I just love, like, he's so nice and humble to people. And then with him being a Christian, and at one time he was sponsored by K-Love, Christian Station, so that was kind of cool. But, yeah, that, him, and I'm trying to think, there's a few others that I really like. I can't think of the roster right offhand, but he's the main one.
I got you.
So who do you like?
Man, I don't really have a favorite NASCAR driver anymore. But if Kenny Wallace was still in NASCAR, I'd pull for him, because I've always liked Kenny Wallace. He's always just a happy person and full of life, you know.
I love me some Kenny Wallace, man. I follow, so I get notified every time he posts on his YouTube, and then I see his posts on Facebook all the time. And he just seems like one of those dudes that, like, and everybody that I've ever talked to that met him said, oh, if you meet him in the pits, he's so nice. He'll come have a beer with you. He'll do this, and he'll hang out. And I'm like, dude, that's so cool. And then I watched his recent short video with Danica Patrick.
Hello?
Like, that was kind of cool. Huh?
Hold on 1 second.
Okay.
Good, buddy. Yes, sir?
All right, let's see what time we got.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Yes, sir, we'll do it. Yes, sir. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Well, yeah, I love watching. So I've become a Joey Logano fan. I used to could not stand Joey Logano. And now I'm a big Kyle Busch fan, too. I like Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is awesome.
I do not like Kyle Busch.
And I used to not like Kyle Busch because he was a big crybaby, and he said some stupid stuff on TV. But ever since he grown up and got matured and then got hired on with Richard Childress Racing, his attitude has changed. He doesn't spout off. I mean, he still speaks his mind, but he don't spout off like a little crybaby like he used to. And I wish Kurt Busch hadn't retired, which I understand why he did, because he got the head injury. But
right.
Yeah, and then Kenny Wallace. So going back to Kenny Wallace, y'all can go to his YouTube and look at Kenny Wallace and go scroll back. And he interviews Joey Logano like 2 months ago, I think it was. He interviewed Joey Logano, and that was the coolest interview. Like, I learned some stuff about Joey Logano I didn't know. Like, Joey Logano talked about how nowadays it's grandpa's money or daddy's money or whoever buys your way into NASCAR for these young guys, and it's just that way now. Like, they don't go by talent. They go by who's got the most money. And now, granted, some of them do have talent, but still, there's a lot of money being thrown out there. But Joey Logano said, I was the last one that actually earned my way into NASCAR with Roger Penske. He said, Roger Penske, he's like, I was one of the very last ones in NASCAR to come up without having somebody pay my way to get in. Like, I got in because I won races in previous series that I raced in. And Roger Penske noticed, and he pulled me up because of my talent, how good I was. And then he said, it's not like that anymore. And he started listing all this astronomical money that people spend. And he's right, you know, the more you think about it.
Yeah.
I don't follow
a lot of NASCAR too much anymore. I just don't.
You're mostly a dirt guy.
Yeah, you know. I got my hands full of that, so I just.
So what is your favorite racing? I guess dirt's your favorite.
Yeah, and I'm like you. I'm kind of a sucker for the vintage cars.
Oh heck yeah, that's awesome. So okay, so if you want to, would you be interested in sharing your testimony like you did the other night? What happened?
Oh, absolutely. About my dad?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely, man. My dad had a stroke, pretty bad stroke, and he went in Evansville, lived in Evansville, Indiana, and they come got him in the ambulance, and he was immobile. He couldn't move none of his left extremities and his left side of his face, couldn't talk, none of that stuff, and He had started getting better, and they had gotten him up and started physical therapy and stuff, and getting him walking again. He got to where he could talk. I could talk to him. He still had issues with his left arm and hand, but they moved him out of ICU into the physical therapy. And a few nights back, I guess it was one night over the weekend, we got a message that he went unresponsive. His head was swelling. His brain was swelling. He was bleeding in his head, and he was unresponsive. And the doctors told my stepmom there was nothing else they could do for him, and that they needed to go ahead and start preparing. And so that's what, you know, we thought it was over. You know, we started praying real hard, and, you know, not that we weren't praying already, but, you know, just praying super hard. And I think it was Monday, I got a message that he was alert, he was talking, he was eating. Still couldn't, you know, walk or nothing like that. Couldn't move, you know, his left side. But for him to come out of being, you know, just totally out, brain bleed and swelled head and all that stuff, man, that just, you know, them prayers worked because he was a goner. It was a matter of time, you know, and everybody praying so hard. And I believe that everything I know, I don't, not that I believe, I know that the reason
that's right,
that he just woke up, you know, it's like woke up like nothing, you know, because of the prayers. And he's eating, and they've taken him out of ICU and put him back in the physical therapy ward. And he's not eating solid foods. They're having to he has to eat the mashed up food or whatever you call it, because he still has issues with swallowing right now. But he's talking. It's a little bit slurred, but being alert and knowing what's going on and all that. I mean, he was out. He was a goner. He was ready to go see his maker. You know,
wow.
Power of prayer, brother. Power of prayer. And I'll give you a little background about my dad. You know, let me tell you a little bit. My dad wasn't the best of a person, you know, in his years. And I think end of last year, I mean, he's always been a Christian. You know what I mean? He's always believed in the Lord and all that good stuff. But he was never what you call a sure enough Christian, I guess you'd say. I don't know. He didn't go to church, you know, and stuff like that. I mean, he believed in the Lord and all that. Well, something happened. Nobody knows what happened. I know. Good Lord touched him. I think he did more than touch him. He stomped on him. Because he went from one day to being this regular Joe that, yeah, I believe in God and this, that, and the other, to being, I'm living my life for the Lord. Period. And that's what he did. He went and got resaved, and rededicated his life to the Lord. and, you know, just completely 100% lived his, you know, started living his life for the Lord. And it was amazing, man. I've never been more proud of my dad in all my life. And just super,
man, that
super
is awesome.
You know, ain't it though, man? And then, you know, he sends me every single day, you know, a sermon, you know, or something like that to that extent every single day, you know, until he had the stroke. And, you know, just amazing. It just goes to show that, you know, when the Lord is ready for you to straighten your act up, and not that he was, you know, once he got older, he changed his ways, you know, but he still was, you know, just, you know, but man, it was just such an awesome thing to know that from 180 degrees overnight, just like with the stroke, man, you know, he was basically dead on the bed, and then the next day, just opened his eyes and everything, you know, everything wasn't good by no means, but he wasn't dead.
Yeah.
So.
Because the other night, you know, I was live on my Shooting Straight show on my ministry page with Josh O'Neill and my buddy Josh. So shout out to Josh O'Neill. He's a youth pastor at Mount Hope Church and, Mountain Hope Pine Church. I think that's the name of it over in Arkansas. And I was live with Josh, and the subject was addiction. So we got through with that. And then all of a sudden, like, I seen you had popped up and commented. I was like, hey, man, I got something exciting to tell you. I said, okay. I said, you want to come up as a guest? And you came up as a guest, and you told me about that. That made my day. That was awesome. I was not expecting to hear a good story like that from anybody, really. And I was like, man, that is so cool. You were so excited when you shared that with me. I said, man, God provides miracles. You got to have faith of a mustard seed, and you have to believe that prayer works, and it works.
Yes, sir, it does. Absolutely
does.
That's
cool, man.
You know, and I've been, and those everybody whoever is listening, I've been sending Jared updates every day. You know, I get updates from my stepmom about my dad, and in a text message, basically. And I've been sharing that with Jared because I know that Jared's been praying for my dad and you know, and all that. So I've been keeping him up to date on it. So that's why when I told him, man, I got a surprise to tell you, you know, because I hadn't told him about him waking up and like,
uh-huh.
You know, so that's, you know, that was, you know, and you don't know how much I appreciate you praying for my dad and for us and everything, man, that, you know, you get people praying, and the good Lord's going to listen. I promise you that.
Oh, amen to that. I mean, God provides miracles, and this is a great story because, like, one thing about my podcast is not just, yeah, racing's the majority of it, but also we got to put God first because without God, I wouldn't have this podcast or have you as a friend, and I believe he put you in my life for a reason, so.
Yes, sir. I agree with that with my friends for sure. I absolutely do.
Well, that's cool. So we got Ernie Parker fixing to come on. You can stay on and listen if you'd like. And also, before you go, you got shout out all your sponsors and anybody you want to shout out.
All right. Yeah, I'd love to do that. The two Pure Stock cars. The 15 is the major sponsor is Johnson's Roofing Solutions. The 13 is Backwoods Bridges. Aaron with Backwoods Bridges, man, he is the coolest dude you'll ever meet in your life, man. And just he came on board when we first got the Pure Stock with no questions asked, man. He said, absolutely, I'll help you all out. Those two are the big sponsors. And, of course, Sessions Construction. We got Watermark Pools that's been a help for us, and my engine guy, Whitehurst Performance out of Esto, Florida, Tyler, man, does a jam up job with my engines. He's been a good friend to me. Just does a great job with my motors and my guy, the Family Tradition Seafood out of the Funiac Springs, Florida. Super great people, Mr. Danny and Miss Shannon Hicks. They own Family Tradition Seafood, and they are such an awesome people, man, and do a lot for the community, and super good Christians. You know, I love them to death, and just great people. You know, and there may be something I'm missing, but those are my main sponsors.
Well, shout out so shout out where you can find them online. Also, shout out the services they offer.
Okay, of course, Johnson's Roofing Solutions. They are a super awesome roofing company. And how I met them, you know, big storm come through last, you know, towards the end of last year, and messed up a bunch of my shingles. And then I called around getting some quotes, and they said, well, let me just come out. I said, okay, well, come out. And they gave me a quote, and they were Johnny on the spot, just jumped right on it. Great pricing, you know, just absolutely wonderful people. Johnson's Roofing Solutions, and again with Mequis Bridges, they're all over the country over here building boardwalks and docks and, you know, whatever, anything to do with that kind of stuff, you know, and Aaron is just amazing. You can find all these people, all these companies on Facebook, you know, every one of them, and Whitehurst
awesome.
Performance out of Esco. Tyler, man, does great work. He also does paint and body. And, of course, Family Tradition Seafood right there in the Funiac Springs. Shannon and Danny Hicks, man, great people. Their whole family, you know, they have, you know, their own shrimp boat. They go out and shrimping, and they just have everything you can think of seafood-wise. And
wow.
Just great people, you know. And everybody that I have on board with me, you know, not all of them are money sponsors, you know, because I don't, you know, it's not about the money, although the money helps by all means. But, you know, like with Watermark Pools, you know, he's Craig Crosley, he's the owner of Watermark Pools, and he's been in racing forever. As a matter of fact, you know, probably half the vintage cars on the track in our area, Craig Crosley probably had his hand in it somewhere.
Oh, I believe it, because he built them cars for years.
Yeah, yeah. And Scott Sessions with Sessions Construction, man, Scott's not just anybody. He is probably one of my best friends, him and Randy Pack. You know, just super great people. They've helped me in so many ways, and you know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for either one of them. You know, they know it. You know, because that's the same with me. They've done so much for me, and in ways that I'll never be able to repay. So you know, I'd definitely like to shout out to them, and you know, just when you find people like that, you know, you're just it's a blessing. And you know it's from the Lord, because you don't just find people like that. So they're the reason I'm where I'm at in racing right now, you know, because of, mainly the three people, Tyler Whitehurst, Scott Sessions, and Randy Pack. Those are the three that, you know, put me where I'm at right now.
Well, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. If you want to stay on and listen, you can. I got we'll get Ernie Parker on here, but I appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate you having me on, boss.
Yeah, that was fun. And look, anytime you want to come on the show, you let me know. I do these every Thursday at 7. So.
All right, brother. Sounds good.
All right, see ya. All right, that was cool. All right, so that was awesome. That was. Man, my mind went blank. Oh, Shane Barnhill. I don't know what, yeah. Got Shane Barnhill. All right, so we got Ernie Parker on the line. So how you doing, Ernie?
What's up, Gary? I'm doing good.
Man, that's awesome. I'm doing dang near skipping. I'm glad to have you on the show.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
because I really understand. Donald told me earlier he had all the equipment tearing down on, breaking down on him at the track, and I hate that because that's a buzzard look. And you know, if anybody wants to go help Donald work on that equipment, y'all go help him. He's gonna race tomorrow night.
Yeah, he has a lot of trouble with that equipment sometimes. It's really old, you know. But you got to make do with what you got.
Yeah, yeah. And if any sponsors want to come on board and help Donald get some new equipment, that'd be great. If any sponsors want to sponsor the track?
Yeah, that would be awesome. There's a lot of local potential up there, but a lot of them don't see the benefit of helping a dirt track.
And, you know, that's just stupid to me because Donald talked to me about that before. And in my opinion, you would be stupid not to advertise with a dirt track your business, because especially down south, because you got all these rednecks and people down south who love dirt track racing. If you advertise your business at a racetrack, your business will be put on thousands of families, and that's potential thousands of families that could come do business with you at your business. Why would you not want to, you know?
Oh, I agree. My local fans are probably some of the most loyal people you could ever meet. And I never realized that till my brother become, him and my sister-in-law become owners of the track, how much those people are so loyal to the races.
Yeah. Because y'all, so tell everybody about who you are. You're the flag man down there.
I am the flagman at Ashford Speedway. We've been there since 2014. I am Donald's youngest brother. There's four of us all together. I'm the youngest of four. I've been flagging since 2007. My other brother, Ryan, had a very successful go-kart track in Gulfport called Gulfport Motorsports Park. And I flagged go-karts for the first 10 years. And anybody's ever had the opportunity to flag go-karts, you'll understand how much easier cars are. Most go-karts go just as fast as the race cars, and you could fit five of them in the length of one car. So it's definitely a lot easier.
Wow. Yeah, it sounds like it's so much different doing go-karts and cars.
Yeah, it is, because most of your cars have their own distinct look. When I look on the track and I see certain cars, I know who it is just off the look. Go-karts are all, not saying in a bad way, they're all generic looking, because 90% of them are black. 90% of them got on a black helmet with a black jacket, and it's so easy to lose them when the number's only 6 inches tall, and they're probably going in front of 70-80 miles an hour.
Yeah, that would be hard for me, because I've only ever been to one go-kart race, and that was at Oak Grove Motorsports Park in Baker, Florida. I went there for that memorial race they had for the Beasley boy who passed away. And even though it rained and flooded that day, they still had well over 100 go-karts there. And I could tell, I didn't know the difference between the classes, because they all looked the same.
Yeah, they're pretty much all the same, other than restricted plates for the kids and weights for the adults. They run the same tires, same go-kart, same body. Just the motors are a little bit different.
Okay. That's cool. So y'all race every Friday night in Pittsburgh until football season, then you swap Saturday.
Yes, if there's no other local track running Saturday night, we go to Saturday night, because honestly, Hattiesburg is a big city, but all your surrounding smaller communities, they really support their football, and I don't blame them for that. I mean, that's your kid, so you're going to choose racing over your kids, and most likely not. So we understand that. It's always been that way, and it's not going to change, so we understand that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't watch football anymore. I used to. I love my local high school football. And I generally don't miss a local high school football game, but if I had a choice between racing and football, I'd probably pick racing.
Oh, I understand that. I don't know a lot about football. Went to more football games in the last 2 years because my girlfriend's son is in the local high school band. So when we had local games, we'd go watch them play and then we'd watch football. So that's about the extent of my football.
Okay, well, that's cool. So my understanding, y'all got rained out for several races.
Yes, and it, a lot of people say, well, it hadn't rained on Friday. Well, that's true, but the Donald put new dirt on the track, and it rained for like weeks at a time. It never had time for the dirt to dry. And we're still struggling with that. And I promise you, there's nobody working any harder than my brother inside to correct that situation. It was a lot better than last race than it was first race.
Amen.
So we just hope our racers can work with us and bear with us if we get it right. Because if anybody that's raced there knows that my brother will get it right, and it would be a racy racetrack.
Yes. And so many times, like, I read these stupid posts on Facebook from people that want to be stupid and try and complain about stuff when they have no idea what goes on in the background. That's right, especially people complaining about, they can't race. They just didn't want to race. That's it. No. That was the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. I've seen people post this on Facebook about tracks I go to, and they'll say, well, they didn't want it. That's why they can't. They just didn't want it. Like, what idiot says that? Like, you don't
race.
No owner of the race track is going to say, yeah, I'm not going to race and just lose money on something that I put my blood, sweat, tears. No. Then again, it's a lot of stupid people to say that. And nobody works harder than people like Donald and like Scott Christmas from North Florida and all these people that I see. Because especially with the new circuits on the radio, that's like dancing from Monday now to Tri County. I've seen where Tri County didn't get to have their season race. It got canceled because of all the rain. And you had all these people crying and complaining. Oh, they just didn't want to race. They could have got that race in. No, you don't understand. They got brand new clay on this racetrack. They have to have at least one good track pack that dirt in and several dry days before they can actually race. I mean, what happens when you race and a bunch of race cars get destroyed because you race on a track that you knew was dangerous? But these racers don't see that. All they see is they want to race.
Well, most of your racers understand, but there's a lot of them that don't. And trust me, I mean, when my brother has to cancel, there's a good reason for it. I mean, you've already stopped the concession. You've already put the work in. Because not at the same time, he's already put the work in. And that costs money. You know, people, I don't know how much he is going to pay all the gallons. And then you got all day of you and your employees out there. Of course, you start talking about me and see. So he's out there, 9, 10 o'clock, everybody. You know, nobody sees that. They just see that he canceled. And I get the frustration. I do get that. Because you know what? We've been on the other side. They can't see. We race a lot of times before we, my brother, ventured into track ownership. And so we understand both sides. And we try our best to work to try to keep both sides a happy medium. That's kind of the only way you can do it. It's not like we get rich by no means.
Right.
But it's a passion. He's always ready to do this. I told him he's crazy, but he decided to do it. But that's something he's always wanted to be. His wife and our family, his wife's family, have been in racing for 40, 50 years. So it's not like it's something that's new. So
Yeah.
They just want to carry on a tradition, because once those tracks close, most of them will never be allowed to open. That's kind of what you see, you know, in the world we live in. Everybody wants something to do, but nobody wants to sacrifice for the noise and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you got to deal with that.
And, you know, people don't see, if some of the people could see the back end of it, of what y'all go through, because y'all don't race, because they would change their tune and they wouldn't spout off of that type of stuff, because like you said, the concessions, people, I don't know why they're having a run, they don't think about it. Oh, they bought all this concession food. Now this food is going to go to waste because they're not raising this food.
Uh-huh.
People actually thought about stuff like that, then they'd see it.
Yeah, and that's part of being in business, because even if you know it's not rain, you still have to go out there and work the track just like it's not, because there is that chance that it may pass over, because nobody gets it right. And honestly, a racetrack's worst enemy is the weather. Okay, they look at the weather app, we're not coming. It's raining, it's going to rain. And so you got low car count. Well, then, low car count equals low attendance, because people are looking at that same app as the racers. So they're not going to come.
Yeah.
They're going to do something else. And so it's a double-edged sword. Not good, but that's the world we live in. And honestly, today's racers are a lot different than the old school racers. I mean, if we rained out at 6 o'clock on Saturday night, we would hop in the truck and we'd travel 2 hours to Locksley or Milton, and we'd still race. And they show up late, but we'd still race. Nowadays, racers at 200. And that's okay, too.
And, you know, like for instance, so I went to Deep South a few weeks ago, and I love going there. And my weather app, I was looking at it, and it kept saying 80% rain, 80% rain. And instead of me saying, because, you know, the weather app scares people off. A little rain scares people off. I get it, you know what I mean? But like, I'm one of those people that said, no, I think they'll get it in. And showing up, we get to 80%, and finally, at the last minute, no rain. It didn't even rain a drop. It goes to show you that you can't always 100% trust them. Sure, they're accurate a lot of the time, but there's times where it's not accurate, you know.
Right. And that's just the world we live in. That's the technology we're different.
And then there's sometimes at some tracks, like Ike was telling me this on the water today. He's talking about, he said, used to, you couldn't even try to go to Northwest Florida without it raining. And it rained out. And he said, man, if it was going to rain anywhere, it's raining at one spot. And it seems like it does that at some tracks. That's just crazy.
It does. It happens that way. But that's just part of it, you know. And a lot of things, too, and most of our local racers understand that. A lot of times the track can be raced on in Harrisburg. It's the pit area in and out. That's a mess. And you have to pull every truck and trailer out over the track. And you take a risk of somewhat $100,000 truck or whatever. And, you know, that's your fault, too, you know.
Right.
So anytime we know that there's a chance of rain, I'll tell them in the driver's meeting, I'll say, hey, if it's going to rain, get your car loaded up and get on out of here. If it stops raining, come on back. We'll wait. You know, so guess what? We have to stay there and pull all those trucks and trailers out. We ready to go home too.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a lot of it, too. And a lot of people don't see that, especially spectators who never go in the pits and understand the situation. But and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's not their job to understand.
And I love, I don't know how often y'all do this, but I love when tracks do a meet the drivers for the ones who don't buy a pit pass, and they let the drivers come up to stands and they meet them or whatever, go on the track. Y'all do that any?
We do that usually one or two times a year. We'll have all the cars come out on the front straightaway and invite any of the spectators who wants to come down and put a face to the name. a lot of those drivers, you know, they're kind of shy, and they won't come up and kind of mingle, I suppose, with the spectators. So that we do that once a year. And I think once the drivers are out there, they really enjoy that.
Oh, yeah, that's cool, because I love when tracks do that, because, one, it gets their fans engaged, and then, two, they get to see a driver and say, you know what, maybe I need to pull for this guy. He was nice to me, you know, whatever the case.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And, you know, that's something, when we used to race at Mobile International, that was a big thing with the spectators coming into the pit area after the race. And, you know, the drivers over there would have pictures and stuff, and they would sign and give to the kids. And, man, that made you feel like you were a NASCAR driver. You got people standing in line to get the local guy's autograph. You know, and that's something that, you know, you don't see as much at the dirt tracks as far as your local races.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if you still see that around Mobile or either. But that was something, you know, when the races were over, that's something I look forward to with the kids and even adults, they come down and they treat you like you were royalty. And that's what I see the fans at the dirt track. You're their guy. You're their guy. So,
that's cool.
You got to start paying homage. You got to start paying homage to the fans as well.
Yes. And, you know, something I like to see, and I really don't see this anymore. Now, when I was a photographer, which I'm not right now because my camera's messed up, but, like, one of the things that I saw back when I was doing field pictures was every now and then I would get a driver, like Mariana Kite, for instance. She got some pictures from me, I believe, one time to pass out to her fans at a meet and greet, you know, for the driver's meet and greet or whatever. And that's something that you don't see a whole lot of. Like, I can remember going to Why Not one time. I don't remember what race it was, but the drivers had their cars out there where the souvenir stand is by the bathroom, and they had their cars on display, the traveling series or whatever that was there. And these drivers handed out the hero cards. And I love it when drivers buy hero cards from the photographer or whatever, and autographs and hands them out. That's a cool thing to see.
Yeah, that was something. Like I said, when we were on Mobile International, Gerald Hodges was talking to there, and he would sell you 100 pictures for a little of nothing. You know, just letting it be on the back. But he wouldn't advertise it, even though he was selling you a discounted picture. And that's what we would do. You'd buy from him and get the kids or adults pictures and come down.
That's cool. That's cool. So do you race a lot?
I raced from 2005, Hurricane Katrina wiped out my shop. Yeah, Hurricane Katrina wiped out my shop, and I actually, to this day, have two modifieds in my shop. One of them is brand new. It's only 20 years old, but it's brand new. Never been raced. 7 months.
Wow.
I raced a lot of asphalt, a lot of dirt. I started on dirt, and 2 years later, I moved to asphalt racing. I raced that, and I came back to racing dirt as well. I enjoy this kind of racing, no matter if it's dirt or asphalt. That's something my brothers actually, they all did it. We raced asphalt on dirt.
Wow.
And I'm fortunate enough to be able to set me one on both surfaces. So that was a huge accomplishment for us.
That is cool. One of the things I would love to see, and I would love to be there to witness this, I would love for somebody to take the flag stand and take your place, and then you go out there and race with your brother and work hard.
We did that one time with the go-karts. We had called an employee race. And we let the racers take our positions. So we had platinum, corner workers, scorers, announcers. And it gives you a totally perspective when you get put into that position. And I was fortunate enough to win that. And I got something about I got kicked to the back twice by the flagman. So. but I'm going to say this much. I think so. But I'll never say I was as good as my brothers, but I think they're the best there is. And I was just a shadow to them, and that's okay. I will say this much. I think being a former racer makes me a little bit better flagman. I still miss stuff, just like anybody else. But
yeah.
I don't know what to look for where someone who had never drove a car would not know what to look for. Not saying they wouldn't learn, but it's just something I think benefits me as a flagman to be able to see things and notice things on cars that the ordinary person might not notice, you know, a danger
yeah.
issue or something like that. So that's what I'm always
looking
at.
That makes sense.
I didn't really want to be a flagman. My brother opened the door and he said, "Oh, you're a flagman." I thought it was great. But I've actually learned to enjoy it and try to put my own little skin on things, how I do it. And I'm sure I have complaints, but I don't really get a whole lot of them from you, you know. I'm sure they're out there.
So I gotta give a huge shout out to my buddy Artie Shee, that runs the Southern Dirt Track Corps, because I've been working with Artie for years. Artie's my dude, man. Well, he's always told me for years, I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 years, however long I've known him, he's always told me that Ernie Parker is the best flag man in the South. He's the best flag man ever. And I go to all these racetracks, and I'm going to go ahead and publicly say this. I ain't trying to let nobody down, you know, but you are the most animated flag man, best that I've ever seen. Like where I work at, Mr. Mike, he gets animated, and I like to shout that out. But you make it so cool to be a flagman. I like to watch you in the flag. Just do your little dance moves in the flag, man.
Well, I appreciate that, and honestly, I didn't even realize I was doing that until someone sent me a video. Wow, I didn't know I did that. And
now
it's just
Artie
kind of
always told me you was the best.
Well, I appreciate that. Artie's a good guy. He's a great supporter of Hattiesburg Speedway and most all tracks in the South. So can't go wrong having Artie on the side.
Amen. And you know, he poor Artie's been caught a rough break, man. Like his. So he hasn't been to Hattiesburg lately because his car had broke down on him again. And I'm hoping that Artie can find him a better job that way he can get him a nice car. But he told me, he said, "Man, I've got to get to Hattiesburg Speedway, man. And I've got to get there." I said, "Man, I hope you get to go and you get you a better car because I want you to keep breaking down all the time." He's one of those people that, like, when he trips Hattiesburg Speedway, that's all he talks about, Hattiesburg Speedway. And it's his home track, and he loves it.
Well, we should do appreciate him, too. He comes when he can, and we're always happy to have him. I know he hadn't got to make friends this year. I read all the issues he has with his car, and I hate that.
Yeah, that is one person. If I ever make it big, that is one person that I'm going to make sure that he's on my list of people. If I ever make it big, make it rich, he's going to be one of the people that I help out because he's helped me out. And he always talks about Donald and you and Ron. He talks about y'all all the time, about how good y'all are at Hattiesburg. And, you know, I've only been to Hattiesburg 4 times, and I'm telling you, that is the finest track in that area. I love going, and Ron helps me out a lot. Ron's a big blessing to me, making my logos and this and that. And so I had to come up for that. I can't remember what race it was last year I came up, but I got to see the new additions to the tower y'all added, and then I got to watch Ron do his thing, walk the pits and ask for prayer requests, and I got to see him like announce, and that was really cool.
Ron is good people. He's a great addition to our family. He's not only you know the chaplain and the announcer there. He's part of our family, and I'll go on record saying that he's He's a great dude, and he is great for our racetrack.
I agree. And as far as racing, like Ron, he means the world to me, because he come and listened to me announce at Tri-County this year and last year. And I could have cried because he does all my logos for me. He's done a lot for me. And when he showed up for that race this year, man, that was just so cool. But one of the things he told me last year, he said, Jared, he said, I give you permission to use this. And I said, okay. He said, when a driver is coming through the field, he said, I want you to say, and I, for the longest time, had it wrong. And then he corrected me this year on what I'm supposed to say. But, like, I told my mom what he said to say when a driver's coming through the field. She said, I don't think you need to say that. I said, oh, I'm going to say it. It's funny. Well, I finally got it right, said it this year. But he told me, he said, so-and-so is coming through the field like a husband taking his pregnant wife to the hospital.
Well, he's a good guy, so he's got all kind of things to say. Definitely like that.
I laughed so, and I used it. I did. I used it. I think I used it the last race. I can't remember what driver it was, but he was coming through the field, and I said, you know what? I said, so-and-so's coming through the field like a husband taking his pregnant wife to the hospital. And I tell everybody, that's not my saying. That's Ron give me that. So.
Well, I may not be able to hear you because we're just getting in my Jeep, and it's not the quietest vehicle in the world. So
cool.
I appreciate you having me on. And,
so did you have a good workout?
Oh, yeah. Cassie works me out every time we come to the gym. She's trying to make us better.
Well, look,
we're not getting any younger.
Like,
so
your friend Kimberly messaged me a while back, and she was telling me about you start back working out, and she was telling me, you know, this and this about you working out, and I'm so glad that I was telling you all those times to go back and work out and whatever, because that's really cool. That should motivate anybody, and I'm going to eventually get back in the gym because I love watching your stuff about you working out, because, like, a lot of people don't know this, and one of the things, like, with me is I announced this on my YouTube. I didn't make this public on Facebook because I wanted people to go click my YouTube and watch it. But about a little over a year and a half ago, I found out that I had diabetes. And I had a super huge health scare, and I ended up in the hospital. And then Dr. Kidd, which is a doctor in Thomasville up here, he told me, he said, yeah, you got type 2 diabetes. And the good news is it's the one you can reverse. You can beat it. So, okay, great. And that scared me. That was an eye-opener. So basically, I had to quit eating fried foods. I had to quit eating unhealthy stuff. And then here lately, I've been cut back with some more through prayer and stuff. And I went from 252 pounds. Now I weigh around 220. And,
wow. That's awesome.
Which is a huge blessing from God, because I wouldn't have been able to do it myself. And then seeing you work out all the time, it inspires me to want to go work out some more, because I'm trying to get below 220, and I hadn't weighed this in 10, 15 years or more. And when I got 252, like, I was scared to get in pictures. Like, I looked horrible in pictures, and now I actually like looking and getting in pictures, and I love working out. I think it's great. It's a good way to feel better and everything.
Right. Well, I had a health scare, and so with the history of my parents' medical conditions, I'm trying to prevent that, and it takes someone to push you, and Kathy pushes me, and I push her to be able to be the best we can be, as, you know, because we want to grow old together and not be having to, you know, stick one another with needles and, you know, make sure you took all your medicine and this and that. So that's something that really put me in the gym to begin with about 7 years ago, and you kind of get lax and lazy, so to speak, and
yeah.
I did that, you know, so it's time we got back and started working out good and hard and to make our lifestyle better.
And it's amazing what God would do to wake you up, because my thing is, like, when I went to the hospital, like I found out my triglycerides was over 1,000, and they said that's stroke level, and I don't know much about that stuff, but they said you don't want that, and then my A1C and like everything was high, cholesterol, the whole nine yards. I was like, holy cow crap, Batman, I need to take this serious. And then I started eating right, eating better, and then working out really helps too. I enjoy working out, getting on a treadmill, lifting weights, you know, and I'm going to start back doing that. And anything you can do to, you know, keep pushing people to work out, I'm all for it.
That's right. That's right. You just got to get in there and make time for it. And
amen.
That's hard sometimes.
Yes, it's not easy. And
not at all.
So before I let you go, you got anybody you want to shout out, you want to thank, anybody, sponsors, anything?
Well, nobody really sponsors me, but I'd like to thank my girlfriend, Cassie. She puts up with me being tied up every Friday night doing, you know, what I like to do, and she's right there with me. And she actually had some shirts made for us, and mine says Flagman, and the back of hers says Flagman Security. And she looks really well in it, too. So
that's awesome.
She allows me to do that, and we also like to go off and watch other races as well, not just our own. And I'd like to thank my brother for giving me the opportunity to, as some people say, showboat, and keeping me involved with racing, because without that, I wouldn't probably be involved anymore. Honestly, the finances just passed me by. And,
yeah,
you know, I was okay with that, I guess. But it still gives me the opportunity to be part of the show.
Well, that's cool. So y'all got a big season at Hattiesburg this year, right? You got any big races or any races you want to shout out?
I'm pretty sure tomorrow night he has the new crate series in town. Yeah, I know I think the end of the next month he's got the sprint cars coming back. Well, it'll be their first trip for this year, but they usually put on a crate show. So as far as that, I don't look at the schedule because I'm going to be there anyway. I shouldn't be that way, but I'm going to be there anyway.
Hey, that's cool because, you know, USCS Sprint Cars, Pete Walton, mighty fine guy.
Mm-hmm.
I like Pete Walton, and
yep.
I love watching them sprint cars.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Well, that's cool. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, and anytime you want to come on, you let me know, and I'll get you on the show.
All right, buddy. I appreciate you having me on, and you have a good night.
All right. See you later. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye.
Cool. So that was – let's give a clap there. That was Ernie Parker, the flag man at Hattiesburg Speedway. So he was working out with his Cassidy, his girlfriend, wife. I didn't catch that part. But I see their posts all the time of him and her working out, and that's so cool, man. Like, that's awesome. That should motivate anybody to want to work out, and hopefully I'll be able to start joining the gym again soon because I need to work out. But, yeah, I've had to lose a lot of weight, and I don't know how many of my local friends listen to this, but that's the first time that I've made my diagnosis about my diabetes public, except for my YouTube video. And so I appreciate those that actually watched my YouTube video and knew about that actually commented and let me know what they thought. Thank you. And so that was cool to me because I was trying to drive traffic to my YouTube's why. And I, of course, I did the video the day I did the Clark Prep alumni basketball game, so I talk about that too, the very first Clark Prep alumni basketball game. But yeah, that's where I made that public on that on my YouTube. But you can go to Coon Hunters Outdoors Ministries on YouTube. I've got a personal page at Jared Hudson, but usually I don't post videos on there. I usually save and subscribe to video channels on there and watch my videos. And then on my YouTube, I'll save videos there, but mostly I use it to promote my ministry, Coon Hunters Outdoors Ministries. So you can follow me on Coon Hunters Outdoors Ministries on Facebook. You can subscribe to me on YouTube. And when you go to my YouTube, I've got a brand new video from the other day. Me and my buddy Sam, shout out to Sam Etheridge, he helped me sight in my 22 rifle, my Henry U.S. Survival Rifle. So I got it sighted in with my loophole rifleman scope, so I ought to be able to knock a tick off a squirrel at 100 yards now. But, yeah, I got that new video. I got concert videos. I've got testimony videos. I've got videos of me working on my truck, like doing oil changes, doing fuel additives. Because I like to shout out B&H Parts all the time. The local Napa dealer in Grove Hill, I've got to shout out Mr. Keith and Mr. Gary. You can go to B&H Parts on Facebook and follow them. And, yeah, I just use that for concert videos, hunting videos, just any kind of videos, really. And I got all kinds of videos, so y'all can subscribe. And when you subscribe, click that bell on there. When you click that bell, you'll get notifications that I'm live. And I see Mr. Donald's still listening. I appreciate you listening. He's listening and working on the racetrack. So if anybody can go help him and Shane out there, work on y'all go help him work on that track equipment, because he does a lot for the racing community, and I'd love to see the racing community, you know, step back up and say, hey, we're going to come help you because we want to race tomorrow night. So hope y'all get that in tomorrow night. And also go on TikTok and look up Race Safer Fuel Arrester. It'll probably under, it's either, I think, Jared Hudson, or you can type in Race Safer Fuel Arrester. I think you'll still find the TikTok. But that's the TikTok I use for the fuel arrester. So all the reason I got a TikTok is that, and follow my buddy Adam. And speaking of Adam, so before we get off, so y'all need to follow my buddy Adam and TJ's podcast. So let me make sure I get this right. It's on Blog Talk Radio. And let's see, 5-1. Let's see, BLOT. Okay, 573 to the 615 podcast. So that's the sports podcast. I'm the producer of it. I produce it Sunday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's my buddy Adam Monahan and TJ Jones. So they do it, and they'll talk a little bit of NASCAR, which is cool. And then they talk all kind of football sports. They do basketball, NFL, you name it, UFC, WWE, any kind of sports, they do it. So all you do is go to Blog Talk Radio, which is where my podcast originates from. You go there and go to the search menu, and then when you go there, you type, I have a hard time remembering that name, but it's their, they call it that because that's their area codes, but it's the 573 to the 615 Sports Podcast. And so, and then they'll have guests on, like Adam's, I think his nephew Ethan comes on, and then they'll have anybody that wants to call in the show and talk sports, they can. I think Tony comes on. Shout out to Tony and Music Crush Monday. Look up Music Crush Monday on Facebook. But it's a good sports podcast. I don't watch a lot of sports except for basketball and racing. And I watch a lot of college basketball because I'm a big Alabama Crimson Tide fan. And we almost made it to the championship game. We made it to the Final Four for the first time in school history. Just couldn't beat the Purdue Boilermakers. Purdue Boilermakers were they, that was the team. They destroyed Purdue. It was Purdue or whatever team it was that destroyed Alabama. Clemson or whoever it was. But, yeah, they beat the brakes off Alabama. But shout-out to Coach Nate Oates. If you'd like a good sports podcast, because Adam's a former MMA fighter, so he's huge into UFC, so you'll love his show if you like boxing and that kind of thing. And then, of course, he's a huge NFL fan. Shout-out to TJ. They do a great job. So Sunday nights, 8:30. we're on, like, episode 5 or 6. So go subscribe to their podcast. Get notified when they post a show. And I'm sure it's going to go wherever you get your podcast, like my show. You can find it on Spreaker. You can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it on Spotify. Anywhere you can get your podcast, you should be able to find this. And, of course, the original is Blog Talk Radio. You can always go to Blog Talk Radio and just listen. That way you ain't got to go to all these others. And plus, the more views on this, the better. So shout out to Jason McMillan with the 110 Nation Sports for giving me this podcast. Chris Creighton. Chris Creighton is the announcer and the voice of the House of Hook, Why Not Motorsports Park in Why Not, Mississippi. And, you know, the thing I always tell people about Why Not is, hey, why not go to Why Not? Well, why not? I mean, the jokes are endless. I love Why Not. I love Shannon, the race director. And, of course, you got Rodney Wing, the owner. Super great people. I love going to Why Not. It's only an hour and 18 minutes from my house, so it's pretty close. About the same distance for me to go to Tri-County Speedway, about an hour and 18. So I got to give a shout-out to the Day family at Tri-County Speedway. I don't need to forget them. They give me a great job. I love my job, man, because it helps me out a lot because I don't make a lot at my regular job. So this helps me out a lot on the weekends. Y'all just don't know. This is a huge, huge blessing to me because I was already going to go there on the weekends anyways, and now I get paid to do it. That's a blessing from God. Like, I love being the announcer. I love getting animated. We race this weekend. Y'all come hear me announce this weekend. We start at 6. Gates open. It's like, I think the pits open at 4. The grandstands open at 5, something like that. And I think we start at 6. And I forgot what time the driver's meeting is. But we got Mr. Mike, the flag man, of course. Shout out to Miss Marilyn and Isaiah for getting me the job. Thank you very much for asking me because, see, they've been watching my racing videos that I post on the Southern Dirt Track Report in our supporters group. And Isaiah had been seeing my videos for years, and he'd asked me before about being an announcer filling in for a race, but I couldn't do it because I think that was the year that Mr. Wyatt was running Deep South, and I had a previous engagement that I told him I was going to be there because I was selling, giving out those free tickets for him that day, that night, and I couldn't make it. I had to turn it down, but I told him, I said, I'm sorry, I got a previous engagement. But then, late towards the end of the season last year, Isaiah asked me, he said, hey, how would you like to be our announcer? I was like, oh, my gosh, yeah, that'd be awesome. And I couldn't turn it down. I couldn't turn it down this time. And so their previous announcer, I can't remember your name. I'm sorry. I forgot your name. But he's the announcer at the Flemington Hurricanes high school football games. And he told me, and I met him at the racetrack after one of the races I announced, and he was telling me what a good job I did and appreciated me. And he's like, look, he said, I'm a football announcer. I'm not a race announcer. And he said, that's what I'm good at, high school football. You could just tell it was more his pace. It sounded like it was a slower pace. It wasn't as fast paced as racing. And it just sounded like that's where he fit and that's where he belonged. And he's also a pastor, which was cool. And it was really nice meeting him. So I appreciate what he told me that night about how good I did and how he told me, he said, yeah, I'm the one that you're replacing. I'm Pastor so-and-so, and he told me his name, and I wish I could remember, but thank you for the nice words you said. So I replaced him, and it's been great, man. I did three races last year. We did the Halloween race, and we had the two-night Legacy Dirt Track Championship race, and we had the racetrack service that Sunday at the church service at the track, which was awesome, and so that was great, and it was great to have Ron Southern, my awesome friend Ron, and give a shout-out again. He's somebody in my small friend circle that I think the world of. He does a lot for me, so if he needs me for anything, I got you. So him and his wife came and listened to me announce that Saturday night, which was super awesome. Then the next day, my dad and mom came for the day race, and I got my pictures, giving the trophies out and stuff. But I got to give a shout-out to Shep Lucas, man. Shep Lucas, anybody that knows Shep, him and Dale Lucas, they race. They've been racing for years, and Shep's always, he's won races everywhere. And a late model, you could put Shep Lucas in a go-kart with a 1981 Tecumseh engine in that go-kart, and he would win the race. That's just how talented he is. I mean, he could take that raggedy Tecumseh and pass him other. I've seen him win a lot of races. Well, he came up to me at the church service because, you know, Ike was telling me, he said, man, I don't miss church. And I said, man, look, we're going to have church service at the racetrack. You ain't going to miss church. It may not be at your church, but we're going to have church. So we had the church service at the racetrack. Him and Cuz was up there. Shout out to Cuz, old Jason. that goes to races with us. And him and Cuz was up there, and I got there a little bit later, and then they had a free breakfast buffet at the racetrack. Oh, my gosh, the finest breakfast. Like, they had a little bit of everything up there at that breakfast. And then Isaiah, Miss Marilyn's son, Isaiah led the prayer service, the church service, which was super awesome. And that was fun. And then I shout out Shep Lucas because he come up to me before the church service, and he was telling me, man, I appreciate what a good job you did, man. You just have no idea. And then he was telling me, he said, one of the things I lacked, he said, well, I was over in the pits working on Dale's car, and we couldn't watch the race because I was over helping him work on his car, getting ready to go back out for the feature. And he said, all of a sudden, I heard you announce over the intercom something about Batman. He said, all I heard was something about Batman. And he said, everybody in the pits just busted out laughing. He said, we all lost it. And it sounded like it was, you ever have one of those moments where something's so funny you pee in your pants? That's what it sounded like. He just thought that was the most funniest thing ever, was me saying something about Batman. And I said, oh, yeah, I know what I said. I said, holy cow crap, Batman, save us all. And it was a wreck. And that's exactly what I said, something along those lines. And he thought that was the funniest thing when I explained to him what I had said. And I use that phrase every now and then. People love that kind of stuff when you get animated and funny over the intercom. So, yeah, I appreciate Shep Lucas telling me that. And the Cartwrights, Brent Cartwright's mom, she was telling me what a good job I did that morning. So I appreciate that. So that was good. We had church service. But the Day families are Christians, so they don't mind that I tell people about Jesus and, you know, talk about the Bible and stuff at the racetrack. So they're great. I love leading the prayer at the track. And shout out to everybody that works at the track. Man, it's just nice people up there, family atmosphere at Tri-County Speedway. So y'all go like us on Facebook at Tri-County Speedway, and also go to our website, tricountyspeedway.com. Check out our website for the rules. We got race regular classes. Got the IMCA modifieds, which we're running their rules, but we're not IMCA sanctioned. So I don't want people saying, oh, you're sanctioned. No, we're not sanctioned. I wish we were, but we're not. So it's a long story on that. We do run the rules, though, so we do race the IMCA mods, which we do have a good field. And then we got the pure stocks. We got the bomber class, which the bombers originated, used to be bombers years and years ago, and then it died out. And then Tri-County Speedway brought the bombers back. And the bombers is awesome because you go to a junkyard or a backyard somewhere, pick up a raggedy car, and as long as it fits the rules, you can come race it. Knock the windshield out, put a roll cage in it. It's got to be stock. You can come race. Now, for the past few years, they've allowed racing wheels, but that's it. Everything else has to be stock. And so I enjoy the bomber class. They used to play the Sanford Sun theme song when they'd come out. And so we got the bombers. What other classes? We got, we don't race the street stocks anymore because just didn't have enough show up. So they got cut. 604s, we don't run them anymore. We run the 602 Crate Racing USA Late Model Sportsman. We run those. And then we'd run the Iron Horse Late Models, which is the cheapest late model you can get into. If y'all don't know what the Iron Horse Late Models is, come watch them. Look up the rules on our website, tricountyspeedway.com. I'd love for more tracks to build up the Iron Horse Late Models and, you know, eventually get them like we have them, because I think it's great, because they originated from Tri-County, and currently we don't have any other track that races them. So we're trying to build them up, but we got 10, maybe 15 cars on a good night. We don't have more than that, but it's growing. And it's just basically it's a late model, but it's an older chassis. It can't be, I think it's 2018 or newer or something like that. It's got to be older than that. And it's for, like, your really inexperienced drivers or even your veterans, but that hasn't raced in a while or whatever. And it's just a good class to get into. It's the cheapest late model, like I said. It's older chassis. You can't run a new chassis. And then, of course, they got the chip rule. You like to look that rule up on the chip. And just a cheap set of Hoosier tires. And everything else has just an older chassis, you know. And just go race. It's just fun. It's the cheapest late model. It's cheap. You ain't going to find no late models any cheaper than the Bomber class. I mean, not Bomber class, the Iron Horse late models. So check out the rules. And what other classes do we run? Let's see. We don't run the Junior Slingshots anymore. I hope we get to bring them back some more. They was always a good class. We ran them last year at the Legacy Race, and they did pretty good. Shout out to my buddy Dougie Halford. He runs that class, him and his son, and, of course, Jeffrey Odom, Leanna, and Craig Crosley. There's so many good families that run that class. Let's see, what are the classes? We don't have, let's see, Pure Stocks, IMCA, Iron Horse, 602 Light Models. So that's four classes, and the Bombers, so that's five, yeah. So that's five classes we run. So y'all come see us this weekend. Before I go, I got to give a shout-out to my buddy Norman Hall from Evergreen. Norman grew up down the road from me in Grove Hill and then moved back to his hometown, Evergreen, where he's from. But Norman lived here for years, and then he moved back to Evergreen. And shout out to Norman, man. That's my dude, man. He come to the last race and got to hear me announce, and he sat in the booth with me. And that really meant a lot to me to see my buddy, man. We've been friends 24 years or more, a long time. And it's a shame we didn't know each other when we were real little, but we've been friends for many years. And he's never been to a dirt track race. His dad raced and different tracks. His dad raced the old Flemington Speedway years ago, and so now Norman got into it, and he brought his camera and got some photography shots. And I told him, I said, yeah, you're going to have to learn from Mr. David Kranick at Impact Zone Photos, because Mr. David sponsors the Bomber class up there. So, and I said, get with David, and I'll tell him that you're going to get with him, and you can learn how to take photography action shots like him on the racetrack. You can learn from him. So maybe Norman will get to do that, and coming up pretty soon. But I'm going to end the podcast. I don't have any more guests. I guess Brian Littleton couldn't come on the podcast. He mentioned that he didn't know if he was going to get to come on or not because he was going to dinner with his kids, I believe. One more thing before I end the show. I forgot this. So this is really huge. I know Mr. Donald's still listening, and if you're interested, Mr. Donald, hit me up. So Brian Littleton is the one who runs the Race Logic Chassis School. Now, I think this is right up your alley, Mr. Donald, at Hattiesburg. So what Brian's going to do at the next chassis school, he's been doing this chassis school for 30 years, he said, and he's got a lot of connections in dirt track racing and racing in general. And he's doing the next chassis school on January the 6th, the week of the 6th. It's either the 6th or 7th. It's on a Thursday. And they're doing it in, I think it's Mooresville, North Carolina, or somewhere around there. And they're doing it on a Thursday because they have the Cars Trade Show that weekend. And the Cars Trade Show is a racing trade show, kind of like PRI Trade Show. It's just like that. All the racetracks have booths there to advertise their racetracks. All the chassis manufacturers will have their cars on display trying to advertise their chassis. They'll have the safety equipment people be there selling their safety products. So Brian reached out to me and Robbie because he looked at our product when I sent him our website. And he liked our product, and we talked over an hour one night when I was coon hunting, just talking. And he's the most finest fella that you'll talk to in dirt track racing, as far as, like, he's so nice and friendly, and I really enjoyed that conversation we had. So anyways, what he's doing at this year's chassis school, this next chassis school, is a safety class, and it's never been done before in racing. Nobody's ever done it, and he's going to do it. He's going to be the first one to say he did it, but it's going to be a Thursday. It's all day long of nothing but safety classes, and the who's who of manufacturers are going to be there. Longhorn Chassis. I can't remember who the guy's name he said that owns Longhorn now, but he said Longhorn is already on board. Longhorn Chassis is going to be there. He said he knows Bad Brad at Velocity USA. He's a personal best friend of his. He said Brad's going to be there with Velocity USA with their racing suits and their racing gear. And then he's got all these different safety manufacturers. He's got a bunch of chassis manufacturers that build like 10, 20 chassis a year, if that. Your smaller chassis manufacturers, your big ones. He's talking to all these people about putting on these safety classes where all they do is talk safety all day long. And I know that'd be right up Scott Sessions' alley, be right up Mr. Donald's alley to talk safety, and plus to get your track out there and stuff, advertise. And then he asked me and Robbie if we wanted to teach a safety class. And I was like, oh, my gosh, this is huge, man. This is a huge blessing from God. You have no idea. Because I've been praying for a long time to get our business out there. And maybe one day, if it's God's will, it'll be a full-time business for me and Robbie. Who knows? I want to see Robbie. I want to see him as a household name in racing. Because Mr. Donald knows Robbie because they talked on the podcast last year. Robbie's been in racing over 30 years, 30, 40 years. His dad raced sprint cars in the 70s, and then Robbie got into racing in, I think it was 87, and Robbie's raced everything from a dirt street stock to a pure stock. He's raced at Flemington. He's got many, many wins at Flemington, which was his favorite track. He won everywhere. He went, and then he moved to North Carolina, and he worked up there. And then he raced asphalt super late models up there, got a bunch of wins. Well, then he worked with, it wasn't Safety Clean. It was, I can't remember the name of it, but they sold safety parts to all the race car drivers, the NASCAR. And they worked with all the NASCAR teams. So they went to the racetrack, and they'd sell the parts. So Robbie's been around racing a long time. And how Robbie invented the fuel arrestor was he was at Daytona International Speedway for the opening weekend at the truck race, and he was working with Rick Crawford because they needed it. Back then, they needed extra help in the pits, and so he was helping at Rick Crawford's pit, and he watched Jeff Bodine wreck his Craftsman Truck Series truck, destroyed the truck, sent the fuel cell flying across the racetrack on fire. And Jeff Bodine got sent to the hospital. He was knocked unconscious, got sent to the hospital. You can go online. I've shared the stories recently. You can go find the stories I shared. But Jeff Bodine is a Christian, I found out, and he's been using that accident ever since to tell people about Jesus, which is cool. Well, he was on the Dale Jr. Download, which is Dale Earnhardt's podcast, and he talked about that wreck, how he got knocked out and how it almost killed him. But God had him. That happened for a reason, so he could use that platform to tell people about Jesus, is what he does now. And of course, his brother Brett Bodine is a safety coordinator at NASCAR now, from my understanding. And so to watch, and then of course Dr. Jerry Punch interviewed Jeff Bodine like the next day or so after that wreck, and in the hospital, and he was just talking about how horrific it was. But that fuel cell went flying across the racetrack on fire. And Robbie said, you know what, I got to come up with something to contain that fuel, because I don't want to see these drivers get burnt or get killed because of a fuel fire. And so 25 years ago, he invented the fuel arrestor. This was 2000, 2001 when this wreck happened at Daytona. And so he invented it, and now he's got me on board to help him sell it. And I encourage all y'all to check out our website at RaceSaferFuelArrestorLLC.com. I would please buy one for me. It would mean the world to me. It's a great safety product. It's like anything in racing, that still take damage. But it'll still give you time to get out of the race car, give you time to get unbuckled with everything, because you don't want to get caught in a fuel fire. I mean, you know, it's pretty scary stuff. I got dozens of videos and articles and stories documented of people getting fuel fires. And if they had one of our fuel arrestors in their car, it probably wouldn't have happened, because they would help prevent fuel fires. And it's one-time use only, so you throw it away and get you another. And so back to the chassis school, he asked me and Robbie if we teach his class, and I told Robbie, I said, look, man, let's call him and let's talk about this. And so we called him, and we had this great phone conversation. And so Robbie's going to teach on fuel safety, and then he's going to also teach on welding because his business is American Industrial Maintenance. Well, that was his name. I think it's Robert Johns Welding now. I think he may have changed the name. Anyways, he does industrial maintenance and welding full-time. And so he's going to teach on class on welding and safety because Robbie's been around racing long. He's been around a long time like Mr. Donald has there. And Robbie knows what's safe and what ain't safe in a race car. And when Robbie says something about safety, I tend to agree with what he says. Not because he's my friend and I think the world of him. It's because I know that he knows what crap he's talking about because he's smart. He knows, like these cages that get crushed in and people that say, oh, it was safe. No, I don't believe that. That wasn't supposed to happen there, Buddy Roe. That's just a blessing from God that drivers survived that cage crushing in, whatever the case, you know. I mean, some of these manufacturers, like Robbie said recently, all they think about is lightweight. They make these cheap chassis out of these thin tubing instead of the thick, heavy tubing because they're trying to be lighter and faster. Now, I'm going to eventually get me a race car. I'm going to start with a stinger car, but whenever I start going to these roll cages and stuff, when I get into it, I'm going to make sure it's made with sterner stuff. I don't care. It ain't going to make, it's like Robbie said, it's not going to make that much of a couple tenths, whatever difference. And you're racing to make, I mean, I want it built like a tank. I want to be able to hit the wall if I hit the wall, and I want to survive it. I don't like people skipping on safety. I don't like hearing about these chassis manufacturers making these, and I'm not naming any brand out. I just see how some of these, they skip on heavy duty, and they go for lightweight because they want it to be lighter and faster. But when you do that, that tube's a lot lighter, and not as thick-walled as that heavy stuff, and therefore it's liable to bend and break easier. And if you want to put safety first, go with something heavy-duty. I don't care how much it weighs. If it makes your car safer, well, then great, because that's more important than speed, in my opinion. So that'd be great, Robbie gets to teach his class, because that would mean a lot. And Brian said, he's like, I don't want any of these manufacturers to go there to sell their product. He said, now look, if your product's good enough, then people will want to buy it from you. And I said, you know what? I'm fine with that. That's cool. So this is for anybody that wants to go up there and teach safety, whether you make a safety product or you're a racetrack owner like Mr. Donald or somebody, if y'all want to come up here and teach, get with Brian Littleton or message me. I can give you his number. You can get in contact. But yeah, I can get you hooked up with him. And so, and this, go to RaceLogicChassisSchool.com, look them up on Facebook, and join their group. You can join it. So anyways, I got to get off the show here. My time is ending. But I appreciate everybody tuning in. Thank you, Mr. Donald. Gone kind of long. But going to end the show with a great song. And if you got any prayer requests, let me know. And we'll see y'all later, next Thursday, 7 p.m. Central. God bless you. Jesus said.
I got prayers all on my wall, just to keep reminding me that every time I tried to fall, he never gave up on finding me. And every time that I couldn't see, he took away what was blind. Prayers all on my wall to remind me, Lord, that you set me free. I died of pain and I did again. I had to sit again and wrote all my sins. I prayed, Lord, forgive me that I'm so ashamed. And it ain't a small thing that I'm the one to blame, yeah. Step by step, I'm just trying to be the man that you made me when you saved me. But you told me, son, this ain't an easy road. But you gave me a friend when I was on my own, yeah.